Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozo Girls.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Tokimeki Memorial Forever With You, an OVA from 1999. I chose this one because I'm super curious about the Neptunia enemies called Tokimeki Sister. They're just a visual novel screen, and there's various ones. There's one called Christmas, and like the girl on the screen has a Santa hat, and I've been meaning to look this game up, so why not watch the anime? It was animated by Studio Pierrot, the studio behind Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie, Salamander, and Tanjo Debut, all of which we covered for this podcast.
Tanjo what?
Tanjo Debut.
Oh, that one. Now I remember.
Yeah, two episodes that had nothing to do with each other. Tokimeki Memorial Forever With You currently has a My Animalist score of 6.5. This is based on a visual novel named Tokimeki Memorial and developed by Konami in 1994. My synopsis is, as graduation approaches, Shiori has to look deep inside at her feelings. Artura, what do you have?
Follow the story of teenage girls at Kitameki Private High School as they ponder their futures and love lives once they graduate.
And Gozugos?
Teenage girls wonder what is love, baby, don't hurt me. While following their interests in swimming, classical music, disturbing paintings by H.R. Giger, R.H. Gergi, and one-to-one scale Gunpla?
yep, pretty much. We open the anime on Tokimeki High. It's their graduation certificate award ceremony. I will say this now, the subtitles are a bit literal from the fan sub who subbed it. So whereas it should probably say graduation award ceremony, it did say graduation certificate award ceremony.
So fancy.
Someone narrates about beginnings and endings and tells us about a school legend. There's an old tree that on the day of graduation, if a girl confesses, the couple will have eternal happiness. I've heard that same legend in about 15 different anime and manga.
Well, then it must be true.
We cut to 5 months ago at Shiori's house. I will note here, yes, the subtitles did say days, but according to Google Translate, the kanji said months, not days.
Same difference. It's only like, what, a few weeks at most?
As we go through this and time goes on and on and on, you do wonder how do they fit the entire of January into these 5 days.
Okay, retract my previous statement.
Maybe it's secretly a Star Trek episode.
The house phone rings and it's a call from another girl who starts to make a confession before she realizes she has the wrong number. They have a brief conversation which amounts to, dang, if only you'd reached the boy you wanted to call.
Yeah, I found that really funny. I actually had to go back to make sure I had read that properly. Because, like, man, it would have been really cool if you'd called the right one, huh? Anyway, bye. It's like, wait, what? Why not just hang up and do that?
I imagine she'd lost her nerve by then.
Dang, if only she'd called the right number.
As we know, Ace knows all about the teenage girl experience.
You mean because I have a teenage daughter and not because I used to be a teenage girl, right?
Yes, both.
Yes, what Artura said. I couldn't think of a clever response fast enough. Thank you, Artura. Thank you.
You're
for the
welcome.
Save.
We cut to the morning where while the title song plays, Shiori leaves for school. We get a montage of students going to school. I'm not going to list everything we see, but an evil koala messes with some chemicals when a student leaves them alone, and there's an explosion.
Yeah, I tapped out at that moment, and I was like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, it's unexpected, and the explosion is never addressed.
And, like, the sound effect for explosion is, like, really really good, I'm gonna say.
Later in the library, Shiori is talking about the caller to Mio. They both choose books and think back to the school trip from last year where a reindeer attacked a student. I put reindeer because it's the only animal that looks kind of like that, though it was huge and the antlers were more pointed, but...
I'm really scared about the type of reindeer you guys have over there in the UK.
If you look at, like, the image that shows up when they talk about it, first of all, it looks really epic. And second of all, the boy is holding a sword.
I think I missed the sword. I was so taken by the sharp antlers.
It's like... I don't know, like... What is this? Like, is this going to be a fantasy thing? Is there murder beasts outside the school?
All the animals we've seen have been strangely aggressive. We have, you know, the explosion, the creepy antler. At this point, I was like, wow, this one's very, you know, very... Sorry. I was like, this world is very aggressive, like, in the term of the animals.
Why the sword, though? Like...
I mean, if you're facing off against something with antlers that sharp, you'd want a weapon.
I mean, antlers are sharp, but also, like, the size of the thing is, like, it's really huge.
Yeah, that's why I was going to write moose with sharp antlers, but it doesn't look like a moose. It is, like, mooses are, like, massive, but their antlers aren't so ornate.
It's like one of the enemies from Monster Hunter or God Eater. That's what it looks like. Like, the eyes are glowing.
Anyway, Mio gives Shiori a book that she received as a birthday present to help relax Shiori. And then we cut to the basketball court where Yoshio is observing the girls play until his sister Yumi hits in the face with a basketball because he's just watching the girls. And he's been doing that for his entire high school life. After school, Shiori and Mio meet up with Saki and ask about her relationship. She hasn't confessed yet, so apparently she's not dating her boyfriend, but has plans to do it at graduation. The three split up and Saki spots Nozomi getting told off by the coach. Coach tells Saki to convince Nozomi of something. Like, he literally just says, "Hey, you, convince her." But instead of getting more of that, we cut to xenomorph breasts.
Yes.
Well, it's the art department where Ayako has made art of a xenomorph with breasts.
I mean, that's basically what R.H. Gergi. In this universe, it's R.H. Gergi. I looked that up. That's what his art looks like. There's like aliens and there's tits. And there's penises. And I like her personality is exactly the personality of a person who would be interested in that kind of stuff. Like, she's just like a normal person, a bit goofy and cheerful. That's the kind of person who's interested in dark, disturbing shit.
And she's bilingual.
Yes, she uses.
I say, looking at both of my bilingual co-hosts.
Oh no, I'm not bilingual. I promise. I don't know English.
Actually, by the end, she's trilingual.
This is true. She does appear to be learning French. Anyway, she leans back in her chair and it falls over. And I'm just going to say it: she deserves worse for putting that image into existence. And then she rolls over and starts pretending to swim, and I think she hit her head on the way down.
I think you mean she hit her head a little too hard on the way down, because, like, wow. I was so taken aback by her reaction. I was like, what?
I fell down. Right, might as well roll over on my front and do the breaststroke. What? We cut to a bus where we see Mira and nothing happens. The bus just goes over a bridge. Like, that's the scene. There's so many scenes like this. I did skip over a bunch of them. At Shiori's house, she's reading Japanese poetry when the phone rings again. It's not the nameless person from before, it's Megu, aka Megumi. And she wants to meet after school the next day. So we cut to school in the daytime in a literature lesson where Shiori is so bored she's thinking back to a poem she read and she narrates it to us. After school, she's reading the book again, well, while finishing narrating the poem, when someone assaults her. I'd class being tapped in the face by a stranger as assault, wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah, that felt a bit much. It's like, Jesus, calm down.
The person is Megumi, and, okay, my fellow pals, you missed any of these many names that I've been saying. We are almost 14 minutes into this thing, and two people have had their names actually said. I just happened to look up all of these names on the Tokimeki Memorial Wikia.
Yeah, that's like the first thing I noticed about this anime about 15 minutes, 20 minutes in. By the first episode, I was like, I have forgotten everyone's names and everyone's faces, and I don't know who's who anymore. I'm not going to lie, I even didn't know who the protagonist was at this point. At one point, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I thought it was the koala.
We cut to the pool where Nozomi is doing laps. She gets out and Saki is there with a towel. They discuss why she hasn't accepted an offer to swim professionally. You know, like the coach had asked her to do the day before, so why did... Like, this is literally the next day. There's been a nighttime phone call since then. But anyway, they're discussing why she hasn't accepted an offer to swim professionally when in walks Ayako wearing a swimsuit. Suggesting that Ayako is there to learn how to swim, Nozomi throws her in the pool before calmly watching Shiori walk past with Megumi. But it turns out the water isn't too deep and Ayako can stand, despite thinking she's about to drown, so it's okay.
Who saw that coming? Oh wait, that happens in every anime.
We cut to the next day and a montage of after-school scenes, finishing with Shiori and Megumi at a park. Megumi thanks Shiori for helping convince her to date a boy, and this leads nowhere. Later, Shiori is doing homework and thinking about the chat with Megumi, because, as we covered last episode, we love animes that cover the scene that they just showed us in the next scene. And she also thinks about how she herself didn't date a boy. She turned down a confession. We get another montage of how everyone is spending their evening, including one of them having built Mecca.
Yep.
Like, I know I'm waiting for reactions, but how do you react to that? Just, here's a slice of life thing and a giant Mac.
That was such a big contrast that I thought is going to be like a consistent subplot. And now it just gets dropped. I think there's another scene where they are looking for a chosen one on a computer or something, but that's it.
I mean, at this point, we've already seen monstrous moose / deer / whatever. Evil, what's the animal again? I keep forgetting.
Koala.
Evil koalas and a guy with a sword. So like a mech at this point, it's like, is it really that far-fetched?
I mean, I guess, but like, then again, I would expect it to be like a subplot that gets brought up over and over and builds to something. But no, it's just like the fighting a giant reindeer with a sword. It's just whatever. That happened. Let's move on. What is love?
We rejoin Shiori now in the bath, and then she makes some tea before the phone rings. It's the girl from the other day. Apparently she wants to talk to Shiori this time.
Oh my god, she reached the person she intended to.
the next day,
they even mentioned that.
The next day we meet Rei, the second male student to get a name, being greeted upon arrival by a gaggle of girls. Yoshio observes from a classroom before noticing that Shuri is spacing out. He doesn't dwell on that, changing the subject to a student in Class F named Koshiki, who asked a boy if he was going home before something happened. So we cut to Koshiki, who is playing tennis, and she sees someone and runs off to speak to them, which results in her doubles partner getting beamed by a tennis ball, and that's the scene. Like, no, why did Yoshio bring her up?
Because she was cute and weird. I don't know. Just an anecdote.
Oh, she went to speak to a boy and something happened. And then, like, is that what happened? Her doubles partner got beamed in the face?
Oh, I guess she spoke to a boy. That never happens.
Anyway, we cut to an English lesson. And because Shuri gets distracted by a boy watching her, she has to read the English sentence from the book, which is about mathematics. We cut to Mira, who enters a dark classroom and is told to shut the door by Yuina, who says that she has done what Mira asked her to. I kept trying to write Mirai in my notes because every anime that has a character called Mirai, she has purple hair, and this Mira had purple hair, so...
Oh no!
Was it the same shade of purple?
I don't know, the quality of the video is very bad. Back at Class 3F, Nozomi drags Ayako out of the classroom despite being told she doesn't want to swim today. And then we cut back to Mira and Yuino. So why did we... Anyway, the editing in this is all over the place. Yuino is using a computer screen to enter data about Mira because she's a fortune teller and using the computer to calculate a love match. It figures that she's an 87% match with a mystery guy that she won't name. We then get another montage as the characters watch the rain. These two episodes love their montages.
Specifically, I felt the second one got like really bad with them. It's either that or I learned they were coming.
Shuri is stuck without an umbrella, so Yuko offers to walk her home under her umbrella. She brags about getting PRF concert tickets for a date, so Shuri asks what she likes about her boyfriend. Yuko admits there's nothing special about her boyfriend, except to her. Aww. Upon arriving at Shuri's house, the phone is ringing. It's Nameless Girl again. They talk about feelings for boys they're not dating, and it makes Shuri sad that she'll be apart from her friends who are girls. The next day, Shuri walks to school and meets up with Mio in the library to return library books and Mio's book. We get more poetry over another montage, ending with Shuri in her classroom at a desk. She suddenly realizes that the person sat at that desk was watching her all along, and she cries. At the library, the librarians are putting books away when they spot a slip had been written on with "Shuri, I like you." This never goes anywhere. And the episode ends. Well, there's an end credit scene, which has Shuri's phone ringing as she arrives home again, and she speaks to someone, maybe it's a boy. She thinks to herself that she may be in love.
You know, we should probably start a document of all the inside jokes we have at this point. Exaggerated gas, psycho power, isekai truck.
Werewolves.
Werewolves. That too, yeah.
The second episode opens with Shuri choosing an outfit. She picks a ring. She's dressed and she picks a ring from a jewelry box that a boy gave her 10 years ago. She's getting dressed up because she's heading to a mansion, which we cut to, and it's Christmas. We see several of the characters enjoying themselves, and then the lights go out, and a spotlight ignites on Ray to thunderous applause. He welcomes them all to the Ijuin Christmas party. Then a small orchestra begins to play. Shuri arrives late and looks around. Rei gets Yoshio thrown out physically because he's not wearing a necktie. Nor is Rei. He's wearing a bow tie. And I actually meant to check if any of the males were wearing ties that we saw.
And then he deploys snipers on the perimeter.
I mean, literally, yeah, we find out he has a militia waiting in the wings in case a gate crashes.
He's like, if they don't have a necktie, shoot them.
Run them over with the tank.
Get the isekai tracks out of the garage.
He's rich. He has an isekai tank.
Yes, he's a great tank. Which coincidentally looks like a isekai truck, but it has those things that tanks roll on.
Tank treads.
Yes, those.
Shuri bumps into someone, but doesn't have a chance to explain because she sees her crush. And then we get the title music and montage. We then cut to February. Shuri is on the phone and Nameless Girl asks what Shuri did in January, which was nothing. At school, in classroom 2B, Yumi is thinking about her senpai when she's told by another girl that someone made him a bento, which Yumi is shocked about. Meanwhile on the roof, Yoshio sees Yuna, also on the roof, and introduces himself, talks about her for 10 seconds, then hits on her. He's such a player. We see brief scenes of other characters, but nothing worth mentioning. We then get an extended listen to a piece of music by Chopin, because Shuri is running a new classical music appreciation club, whose members are currently Mio and Megumi.
And there's a creepy horned figure seen outside the window of the classroom.
Yes. Yeah, at this point, you might recognize her from the Christmas party. You probably won't, because she appears on screen for like 3 seconds.
Yeah, but her hair that looks like a horn. I mean, it doesn't. It looks like a normal anime hairstyle when they show her the first time and later, but that silhouette looks like a demon. It looks like Beelzebub from Tenacious D.
And it wouldn't be unexpected in this anime with its mecha evil koalas and mutant reindeers. After music, Rei enters and claps, asking if he can join them. Unfortunately, it's too late as they need to vacate the room, so he offers to drive them all home in his limo. Mio, however, has to go to tutoring, and Megumi has to do shopping, so they both run out and leave Shuri and Rei to get in the limo. He asks why she started the club, and she answers that it's a way to try and make memories before the end of high school. You waited until, like, a couple of months until the end of high school to make memories in high school. We cut to Nozomi in the shower, wearing her swimsuit, where she remembers Coach warning that without an answer, she'll be passed over for the athletics thing. Saki meets her in the locker room and gives her a bento, and she admits that she's feeling down, but not solely because of the athletics thing, but Boy thinks her body is like a boy's body, or something.
Yeah, I'm not unpacking that.
We get a montage set to classical music, while scenes of school play, ending with Shuri wondering why he isn't joining the club she created, and then there's a class photo. We cut to some other time at school, with a rando telling Shuri that Mira and that guy went on a date, and it's the guy that she likes. Later, Shuri gets a call from Nameless Girl. She wants to talk about something good that happened, but Shuri makes it all about her feeling bad that he went on a date with someone else. Like, great friend. At school, Shuri approaches Yoshio and asks for a phone number, making the other boys in class suspicious. This doesn't go anywhere. Later, Shuri dials the number and Mira answers. But while she's distracted by the chaos in the house, Shuri hangs up. school, on the roof, Ayako gives Nozomi a gift, telling her that she has to keep trying hard. Smash cut to Shiori's club, where they're going to listen to Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. Rei asks why Mira is dating that guy, and she says it's because he's unpopular and she wants him to have some nice memories. We cut to Nozomi asking why Ayako is leaving, which Saki explains she's going to live with her aunt in another country and go to school there. Nozomi says that she can't be so brave. What if she gets injured? We then see what Ayako gave her. It's a painting of lavender flowers. Honestly glad it wasn't her other painting, which I assume is just called Xenomorph But a Girl. Later, by moonlight, while Beethoven continues to play, Nozomi goes for a swim. She swims for almost 6 hours before collapsing at the side of the pool. And deciding that she had fun or something. We have a montage of Shuri at a university entrance exam. Nozomi telling Saki that she's doing the athletic thing. Ayako having charcoal drawn more xenomorph erotica. Yuno wanting to take on the world in her mecha, and a couple other characters doing nothing. And then we cut to Shiori's club, which has filled out quite a bit. There's basically all the characters there.
Well, we can't have our protagonist be unpopular now, can we?
She tells them she's glad to have shared such fond memories, even though they're graduating soon. She announces the club's final piece of music, which they'll listen to, Mozart Piano Concerto number 27. And then while that plays, we get a short montage while the music plays, and then Shiori is walking with Megumi and talking about graduation next week. They spot someone next to the confession tree, and Megumi explains the legend. There's a bit of a time skip to the night 3 days before graduation, where Shiori gazes lovingly at the shadow in the window opposite her bedroom. Then we cut to her watching An Officer and a Gentleman on VHS, with Forrest Gump and Melody of Love tapes on the coffee table. I Google translated the titles. And I recognized An Officer and a Gentleman. And then she has a bath, and I have no idea how many days remain until graduation. We get scenes of how characters spend their evening, and the mecha clears the snow clouds with a big laser blast. And then collapses in a puddle of water or something.
I really like that the one thing you're being consistent about is telling us what the mecha is doing.
Because it's the most interesting part of this anime.
Hey, leave the flaming and roasting for the whether you liked it or not.
The montage continues to show what happened the next day before it's almost midnight again, and Shuri receives a phone call from a nameless girl who got dumped. And then we cut to the girl at a phone booth, and it's the one that she bumped into at the Christmas party. And she explains that she's heartbroken, while Shuri looks like she has no empathy towards this person on the phone crying.
I know. I thought the same. I was like, what is wrong with her? She's just crying, breaking down, and then our protagonist is just there standing there being like, oh, great. Anyway, can I go now? I have like things to do.
Like her face is blank and she says hello while she can hear like the crying. Like, give her a second. Come on.
Hello? Like, if you're not going to talk, I'm just going to hang up.
She tells Shuri that she won't call again and that she should gather her courage and confess. The next day, Shuri thinks about the boy at the tree and thinks about the times they've spent together. Some of the events happened in the past, others happened off-screen during this anime. Like the CD of Chopin, he gave her that, but no, she just decided to create a club off of a CD that she happened to bring from home is what we had to infer until now. We finally get to the graduation ceremony, and Shuri admits her own feelings to herself. And with less than 5 minutes left, we get a final montage of everyone looking at the stage. We then cut to the tree, and Shuri confesses her love. But we don't see it, but we do hear it over the credits that play at the time. After the credits finish, we assume that he said yes, he'll go out with her, because she says that she's very happy, and the end. So, was this a good adaptation?
Probably. I don't know.
I mean, I looked up gameplay, it's all in Japanese, it's a text-heavy visual fall. Yeah, maybe. The scenes, I saw some of the scenes from the anime in the gameplay, so yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's about as unintelligible as most of the characters in this cast.
I mean, wait, should I be talking about my problems with it now, or should I leave that for later?
Leave that for this next section. So is it a Yeta, a Nani, or a Baka Arturo?
I think this has to be a Baka for me. I was kind of interested at some points, then a montage would pop up, and then I would have to watch for a long time what's happening for no reason, and then I'd get a little interested every once in a while, and then another montage would pop up. But the mech was an absolute highlight, and that's it, right? Like, that's it. Nothing happens. We don't know the character she's in love with. The character on the other side of the phone, no one cares about it. No, it just feels so pointless throughout all of it. So no, I think for me, it's a Baka.
Nobody cares about her, not even the protagonist.
Not even, exactly. If the protagonist doesn't care about her crying, why should I?
And Guzguz?
I am reluctant to give it a Baka. I think I'm going to go with Nani. Like, I don't think it was terrible, but it was very unfocused. Like, if they focused on one character and had us like follow her, like what she's doing during a day, and like really have us understand her, then that would be better. But it was like jumping all around between like different conflicts, and we don't explore any of them fully. I don't know what else to say. Like, have her interact with all of the different characters that they showed, and not just show, like, them interacting with other characters. Like, it's a mess.
I think because it's based on a visual novel, the implication that the boy that all these girls are interested in is the same boy that our main character is also interested in.
See, here's the thing, right? My problem is, generally from the other OVAs that we've watched that have visual novels, the protagonist is actually given a personality, and they actually pop up, and they actually interact with the characters. And although they try to keep them very faceless so you can still interject yourself into them, it felt worse to never be able to see the protagonist, or them to never do anything. It's like, it feels more pointless, and I hated that.
Yeah, for me, it's a Baka. Like, why give us that mecha tease only for us to not even see the fight it obviously participated in? Like, come on. It's very slow moving and feels like it's trying to be too many things at once. It never focuses long enough on any of the characters.
Yeah, I thought the moment where the girl calls her and she says she was rejected and she cries, like, that was a bit heart-wrenching for me. Like, the music gets all sad. Like, that was the most emotion that I felt.
I agree, yeah. But then Shiori's reaction was just nothing. So
that kind of ruined it.
Yeah, it took away from how emotional it was. Like, I don't care. Why are you calling me at midnight to tell me this?
I mean, I don't want to blame, like, say that her reaction ruined it. It's because we didn't really spend enough time on her, and, like, get to know her, understand why she's so passive, stuff like that. Because, like, that's how she comes across, that she's really does, like, very passive and doesn't is afraid to do anything.
But on the top, sorry.
But like, yeah, if you want us to like that character, you need to spend time on her and have us really understand where she's coming from. And like, I'm giving her benefit of the doubt because I'm like thoughtful and like I know that in the graphic novel there is probably more to that. But yeah, the whole thing is unfocused. It jumps around too much, and yeah, otherwise that moment might have been like warranted and we could understand why she reacts that way.
I was just thinking, Nameless Girl, do we see her like at all apart from at the Christmas party and through that one window?
I mean, no, I assume she doesn't go to the same school.
I think she does, because she says, oh, we go back to school tomorrow. Oh, you as well? Oh, yes.
Actually, yeah, no, right? You're right. Like, if we see her outside the window, then she probably goes to the same school. Yeah, you're right. Sir, what did you say, Arturo?
Don't worry. I was just agreeing that I do think she goes to a school, because there's a lot of hints that indicate that she does. And also the fact that if we're supposed to meet her as the protagonist, then how are we going to do it if everything is set in school?
Mm.
So does this deserve its My Animalist score of 6.05?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I'd go lower. 6.05 is something I'd tell someone to watch. The most things I would tell someone to watch about this is the mech, like a cut of all the mech things that happen, because that's it. Like, nothing happens. So no, I'd absolutely go lower. 6 feels a bit too generous. Maybe if I cared for the characters and knew them and wasn't lost most of the time, but I don't. So
a supercut of the mech stuff is like 40 seconds long.
Exactly, and that would be worth your time.
Yeah, like, I would... I don't even know, like, if you sorted each, like, scenes with each character, like, have them be, like, their little shorts, that would be better, maybe, because it would be easier to follow what's happening with them. But, like, the animation wasn't bad, and, like, the sound, there was no cicadas. No, I think that score is about, like, fine. And, oh yeah, speaking of animation, every time a girl gets thrown into a pool or belted in the face by a ball, that, like, was great animation, too.
Yeah, some good slapstick, yeah.
I mean, like, when we watch, like, a Street Fighter or a fighting game anime adaptation, like, there's usually some like bizarre frames of animation that I want to make fun of, and like I couldn't find anything like that here. It was pretty solid. So yeah, I think like a 6 or maybe 5.5 would be, or it's a fine score.
I agree with Arturo. I put it lower, unfortunately. That about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Goz.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, find us on social media, or listening to the Grimcast podcast. Until next time, game on.